Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentro, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. That's B-U-L-A Network.com. This is episode 228, being the last Friday of the month, June 27th, 2014. This is Freeform Friday. Means it's just a rant. It's all it is. It's a rant. Winnebago, man. I don't know why that popped into my head sometime earlier today, but I thought about that, you know, this poor guy who just absolutely goes on just a colossal cussing streak. No, we're not going to do that because we don't use that kind of language. But sometimes it's a little bit of a rant. Today, I don't think it's going to be that much of a rant. Zig Ziglar said, when obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. Pretty smart on Zig's part, I think. When obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. If you go over to the show notes at BulaNetwork.com/228, you will see a picture of I think the man was in Anchorage, Alaska. I mean, he looks like he just came down from the mountain, and he's holding up a cardboard sign that says, Homeless Bill. Assuming his name is Bill. Homeless Bill needs rich woman. Something tells me he never found her. I don't know. I guess one could hope, but as we all know, hope is not a strategy. So here we are. We are halfway through the year as we come to the end of June. And I think it's time to triage. Do you ever do this? It's time to triage some things. You know, you triage when you're trying to figure things out and you've got to put things in order. You've got to put things in some priority. For people my age, I think about MASH episodes, famous long-running television sitcom. Helicopters would come in and they would land, and the setting was the Korean War, and it was a MASH unit. It was a mobile army something hospital. What does the S stand for? I don't know. I didn't research. And patients would come in and they would have to set up triage. That is, okay, well, who are we going to take first? Well, obviously we're going to take the people that can be saved, and we're going to take them in order of who's most urgent, who needs the help the most. Okay. I kind of use triage in that setting, but not really. I mean, do you ever triage your career? Do you triage your business? Do you triage your life? Some would say, well, it really is not a triage. It's more of a postmortem. Well, that sounds like your career's dead. Your business is dead. Your life is dead. And I don't think that. I do understand that there is a difference. There's a difference in triage and postmortem. Postmortem is we're trying to figure out, okay, what happened. And triage is we're moving forward to what do we need to do? What have we got to do to fix this? And I guess the way that I'm using triage, it really encompasses both things. What's working? What's not working? Why isn't it working? Why is it working? And what can I do differently? What can I do better? The focal points for me continue to be do more of what works, do less of what doesn't. And that's why I began with the Zig Ziglar quote, when obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. That is to get to the goal. Well, okay, it certainly begs the question, what's the goal? Well, sometimes the goal changes. Do more of what works, do less of what doesn't. No, it's not the same mission that you see most people talk about. They will say, do more of what makes you happy. Do more of what makes you awesome. Do more of what you love. Or this one, do less, not more. I just don't find those valuable. I don't find those valuable, and I don't find those valuable for lots of reasons, but I won't dive off too deeply into all that. For starters, though, do more of what makes you happy. Well, happiness varies. Happiness varies depending on where you're at in life and what's going on with your life. It depends on your level of self-awareness. Chasing happiness, to me, also seems just ridiculously selfish. And as for awesomeness, do more of what makes you awesome. Come on, most of us aren't awesome. We're just not. I'm cool with that. I mean, do we have to be awesome to be productive, helpful, serving? Can we have moments of awesomeness? Yeah, of course we can. It's a little bit like all the talk about heroes. You know, we've likely all got the ability to be heroic at times. That doesn't make us heroes. I do lots of work in leadership, and I talk very frequently about acts of leadership in the workplace, acts of leadership. And acts of leadership can be done by anybody at any time. It doesn't make them leaders. It simply means that they are people who performed an act of leadership. I love my family. I love my faith. I'm going to always try to do more of those things. But again, the way most people talk about love, especially in the context of do more of what you love, that just seems awfully selfish, doesn't it? Do more of what you love. And as for do less, not more, that's just sheer laziness. And no, I'm not attracted to the concept of doing less. I'm attracted to doing more. I just want to make sure I'm putting forth the effort I should in the areas that deserve or need more of my work. It is true. If you've lived long enough, you've encountered it. And if you ever solicited someone to help you do something, you absolutely know that it's true. If you want it done, find a busy person. You may have a friend and you may think, man, they could really help me. And they just don't ever do anything. They don't have enough energy to get off the sofa. And you could ask them, you could compel them, you could urge, you could even coerce them. And they're not going to help you because these are not people who are accustomed to being off the sofa. On the other hand, a person who just seems as busy as a one-armed paper hanger, ask them to do something. Yeah, they'll find a way to get it done because their life is spent being busy. Their life is spent being productive. Their life is spent doing things, knocking things off a to-do list and continuing to add on to that list. I want to do more of what works. I want to increase activities that result in progress. And I want to reduce the stuff that has no or limited results. Okay, some would call it success. Some people may call it winning. And however I choose to define it, however you choose to define it, it all depends, I think, on the context. Let's take business and career. I want to do more of what creates customers, what dazzles customers, what increases lead generation, what improves profits and income, all those measurements that are associated with business or with a career. Spiritual. Well, I want to do more of what increases holiness and righteousness. Health. I want to do more of what will improve and maintain fitness and energy and health, vitality. Family. Well, I want to do more of what will improve my marriage, my effectiveness as a father, my effectiveness as a grandfather. Friends, I want to do more of what will make me a better friend. And so today's show is about change. It's about improvement. It's about exploration. It's about discovering. It's about attempting to get out of the woods because guess what? We all find ourselves in the woods. So let me begin, and I may end here as well because this isn't scripted because it's free form Friday. Come on, it wouldn't be free form if it was scripted. It'd be fully scripted Friday, and it's not. It's Freeform Friday. I've been thinking about rebranding the podcast, and I have solicited your help, and I've gotten some great feedback, and some of you have gone to extraordinary trouble, by the way, and I appreciate it greatly, to help me. But you and I both know at the end of the day, I've got to do what I got to do, and I don't know. I'm going to kind of step you through, and this isn't going to be probably terribly methodical, but hopefully you can gain something from it. And hopefully by me articulating this to you, it'll help me too. So we're in this together, right? And so I'm thinking about the work that I do, and I'm thinking about the work that I want to do. Now there's a couple of ways that you can go about this. And there's a couple of ways that I can go about this. There's a couple of ways that anybody can go about this. And then there are all these shades of gray in between, kind of these two extremes. Let me give you the extremes, and then you can extrapolate all that gray area in between. Here are the extremes. One is the whole notion of soaring with your strengths. I have talked about this ad nauseum. I first read about this. Donald O. Clifton. Seems to me there was a female co-author of the book. The book was entitled Soar with Your Strengths. As memory recalls, I'm going back to the early 80s. This was the precursor to strengths finders. And the notion is exactly as the title of the book. And it really resonated with me. I bought it the year that it came out and I read it. And it resonated with me because one of the things that Donald O. Clifton talked about in his research was that whole notion of exactly what the title says, soaring with your strengths, but how as people, we seem to be so structured and so geared and natural inclinations seem to be to jump on the problem, the weakness. And don't you find that that's true? Don't you find that that's true in your life? Don't you find that that's true with your bosses? Don't you find that that's true just not just work, not just career, but even at home? And one of the things that Mr. Clifton wrote in the book, Junior comes home and Junior has a pretty good report card, but there's this one glaring class where Junior has not done so well. Maybe it's a D. And everything else are pretty much A's and B's. Maybe there's a C, but there's this D. And Mom and Dad really focus on the A's? No. They never focus on the A's. They're not focused on what Junior's doing great at. They're focused on this D. This is unacceptable. You need to work. You need to jump on this. You need to work on this because they're wanting Junior to bring that grade up. That's just the opposite of the whole notion of soaring with your strengths. It's you got to shore up this weakness. And as a result, there is all this energy put forth on the part of the parents and Junior to work on that class that he got a D in. But the classes that he loves are the classes he got A's in. And those also happen to be the classes that he's probably got some natural inclination, some natural aptitude for. Sir Ken Robinson, I think, properly articulated in his book, The Element, that a person finds their element when they are able to find the intersection between their natural aptitude and what they really love. Their natural aptitude and what they really love, and they find themselves in their element. Hold that thought. Soaring with your strengths. The other is, what's the obstacle? What's holding you back? What is the thing that's in your way? Can you ignore that? Now, they're doing a lot of road construction here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Well, they're always doing a lot of road construction in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And in the burg where I live, on ramps and off ramps to the highway are just, well, it's a crapshoot. You just never know if you're going to be able to get on at that particular roadway or if you're going to be able to get off at that particular roadway. These things are constantly being changed and closed and opened and reconstructed. I can see a detour sign. I can see one of the big signs a mile or two before you get to the exit that can say, okay, that's closed, take this exit. Well, I can ignore that, but I've got a barricade. There's no ignoring a barricade. In some cases, the exit ramp is not even there. It was there last week. It's not there this week. That's a hurdle. That's an obstacle. I can't take that exit anymore. I can ignore that, and I can say, well, that's a problem. That's a weakness, but I just choose to not recognize it. Well, that puts me in serious trouble. And it puts us in serious trouble, I think, in our life. I know it puts me in serious trouble in my life when I just refuse to come to grips with something that I'm not good at. Now, I can expand on this merely with this point, and you'll get this because we all suffer from this. Have you ever found yourself in a situation or you wanted to think that you were good at something that you weren't? Now, we can call this self-delusion. We can call it a lack of self-awareness. Call it anything you want. But have you ever fancied yourself to be something that you're not? And maybe you didn't even fancy yourself to be that something. Maybe you wanted to be something that you weren't. And maybe you tried to be something that you weren't. I'm thinking of sales, and I'm thinking of people that just don't have it. It's just not in them to do it. And I got to thinking about myself as it relates to sales the other day. I'm a good salesman, but I'm a good salesman in certain situations. And there are all kinds of salespeople. There are all kinds of salesmanship skills. I was looking the other day. I'd gotten a LinkedIn request, a connection request. And I went over there and I got to looking at the company that this person worked for. And I don't know why, but somehow I ended up on the company page and there was a link to the jobs of that company. And so I go over there and I look, and one of the jobs was some kind of a sales job. And I just glanced and I caught a number, and the number was 90 to 100. And the qualification was 90 to 100 per day. What do you imagine that was? 90 to 100 per day, a sales job. Phone calls, 90 to 100 per day. And I thought to myself, I've known some people, I haven't known very many, but I don't know about you, but can you imagine getting up in the morning and going to a job knowing that your measurement was 90 to 100 cold calls a day? Cold call being a call where you're calling somebody and they don't know you're calling and they're not expecting your call. 90 to 100 a day. I mean, at minimum, that's 1,800 calls a month. Almost 2,000 phone calls a month, every month. And you got to stare at that day. Now, for a guy like me, it's just kill me. Just kill me now. Not everybody feels that way. Do you realize how many companies have oodles of salespeople who are making vast numbers of cold calls every day? And it's a little bit kind of like spammers. You can say, well, why do I get all this spam? Because it works. It's working somewhere. Somebody's buying this stuff. Cold calling, you don't answer phone calls at your home because everybody's got caller ID now, and you don't answer cell phone because you got caller ID, but somebody's answering. Somebody's got to be answering, and it's a numbers game. So for every 90 to 100 calls, I'd be really curious what their conversion rate is. Now, depending on what the service is, it doesn't have to necessarily be ridiculously high. It's just a churn and burn kind of a mathematical equation. They evidently have figured out that 90 to 100 calls a day by every salesperson will result, because it's all scripted. And here's the other thing. It's not like these people have got to think about, well, what am I going to say? No, the companies are training these people what to say and how to say it. But I got to thinking about that, and that really, I just began to think, there's a perfect illustration of someone who could say that I'm a salesperson. I feel like I'm a pretty good salesperson. Okay, I would say I agree with that as it applies to me. I don't think I'm God's gift to the sales world by any stretch of the imagination, but I can relate to people. I'm personable. If I'm going to sell it, I'm going to know what I'm talking about, or I'm not going to sell it. If I'm going to sell it, I'm going to believe in it. And it may not be something that I would buy, but I'm going to believe in it enough to believe that there are people that it is a perfect fit for, that it's a good value for. For instance, I started out as a teenager, as most of you know, selling hi-fi equipment. Well, I wasn't going to buy anything and everything that I ever sold. Some of the stuff that I sold, no, I wouldn't have bought it. But I could very easily see the circumstance or the situation of someone else and say, you know, for them, it's a good buy. There might be speakers, for instance, that, okay, they just don't sound that great to me. But, and I'm thinking of speakers that had just crazy low end and boomy bass, and okay, I'm not attracted to that. Okay, this is subjective. So was it difficult for me to sell a pair of loudspeakers that would blow your hair back? No, because I had customers that's exactly what they wanted. That was the kind of music they listened to. So for them, ideal. For me, I wouldn't buy them if they were half price. 90 to 100 calls a day. Well, this all got me thinking. And what it got me thinking is it got me thinking about these two extremes. It got me thinking about soar with your strengths or focus on the weakness. Soar with your strengths or focus on the constraint. Focus on the problem. Here's where my head's at today on Freeform Friday, June 27th, 2014. I'm thinking I'm morphing these two things. I'm kind of merging these two ideas together. And let me tie this in with the rebranding of this podcast, because this is where my head's at right now. And if you want to help me, then I'll put links in the show notes to help me. I think it's bulanetwork.com/help-me. Place where there's a kind of a little form that you can fill out if you want to provide some feedback and help me. But here's what I'm thinking. So stay with me and see if this can help you too, because I just think that there's some broader applications here. I really do. I think there's some broader applications to help you in whatever problems you're facing. You've got strengths. You've got some things that are just pretty easy for you. You don't have to work particularly hard at it. You have a natural aptitude for it. Now, sometimes we have a natural aptitude for something and we really don't love it all that much. I mean, one of the biggest glaring examples of this that I can think of was Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was, you know, the spectacular college athlete out of Oklahoma State. He came from Wichita, Kansas, and he gets drafted by the Detroit Lions, and he is just insane, insanely good. Natural aptitude? No question. I mean, world-class natural aptitude. And in the prime of his career, he walks away. Just didn't like playing football all that much. Didn't care. Didn't love it. So you've got things in your life that are like that. I've got things in my life that are like that. There are things that are just, they're not difficult for you. Doesn't matter about anybody else, okay? It doesn't matter what's difficult for somebody else. We're talking about you. Things that are easier for you than other things. Now, you can wrestle around all you want with, okay, well, what do you love? I'm not so concerned right now with purpose or passion, you know, the two big P words. I don't care. Because you know what? The universe doesn't care. My business success, my life success does not care so much about, when it comes to my work, it doesn't so much care about my purpose or my passion. It's, can I get the job done? Am I getting the job done? The amount of money that you earn, yeah, other people will argue and probably say that I'm a lunatic for having said what I just said, but I stand by it. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is what you do. Well, if a person goes about and does something and they do it with a degree of competence that brings about a result, guess what? The universe doesn't care if they love it or hate it. Barry Sanders was a world-class athlete, a world-class NFL running back. You couldn't tell by looking at him that he wasn't having a really big time. He was effective. He was good. Why was he good? Because he loved it? No, he was good because he was good at it. He was good because he knew what to do instinctively. Well, maybe there's something about you that's like that. Now, listen, it's great. It's great if you can fall in love with what you're great at, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time worrying about that, you know, especially for this whole rebranding kind of a thing. Now, you've got a problem. There's something holding you back. I don't know what that is, but there's something. There's something in your way. Like these closed exits that are all around me where I live, there's some roadblocks and detours that are in your way. And so think about those things. No, I'm not saying dwell on those things. I can't dwell on the exit ramp that is closed and is no longer available, but I have to have an awareness of it so that I can find a different route. And that's where our quote comes in. When obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. If I want to go home, and I'm coming from Dallas or I'm coming from Fort Worth and I live in a city in between, I know I want to get home. Well, nothing's going to change that. The desire to go home is still the desire to go home. But an obstacle comes up okay, I may have to change direction in how I get here. I may have to go a back way. I may have to take a longer route. I may have to go past the exit that I normally would have taken because it's closed, and I may have to loop back around. But my decision to get home is still fully intact. My decision to rebrand is still intact. I'm just now not sure about the direction that I was headed to get there because, see, I was really headed in a direction I thought soar with your strengths. And now I'm thinking there might be more profit. There might be more profit for me and for you if I were to do it just the opposite. And it's not because I'm a contrarian. It's just what's going to benefit, well, come on, I'm in this for myself. What's going to benefit me? And in benefiting me, you know what? It dawned on me, it might benefit a lot more people than soaring with your strengths. I mean, don't you want to listen to somebody who's going through something that you can relate to and helping you along the way? I mean, do we really need somebody else holding forth on, this is what I'm great at, this is what I'm good at, listen to me? And I've never been that guy, by the way, and you know that. I've never been that holding forth guy. I joke with people that my photograph, my avatar, has me with my hand over my mouth. Because I want to listen. Okay, no, I don't listen more than I talk, but I want to listen as much. You know, except for here, I do. I do listen a lot. I do pay attention a lot. I'm a detail freak, and I observe these things, and I pick up on these things. And you can't do that when you're so focused on what you want to say. So in my real work, yeah, I do a significant amount of listening because I can't be effective if I don't. But here it's about sharing, and here it's a microphone and it's audio. And even though I'm a believer in the power of the pause and other, oops, as I hit the microphone, I like to use my hands. Do you use your hands when you talk? When you're a podcaster, depending on how you got your microphone set up, that can be disastrous. Doesn't happen to me often, but it just did. So yeah, I use my hands, and I'm not Italian. Go figure. Where was I? When obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. I still want to go home. And if I got to take a different exit, if I got to go 10 miles out of the way, it doesn't matter. I know where I want to go. Here with the podcast, I know where I want to go. I know that I want to accomplish more. I know that I want to reach more people. I know that I want to be more beneficial to people. And I'm thinking that holding forth, even though I love to do it and tell stories and kind of drag you along and bury the lead and kind of save the punchline for the end, okay, maybe I should change that. Maybe I should adapt that as well. I do want to learn, and I do want to get better. I do want to consider what's working, what's not working. Why isn't it working? Why is it working? What can I do differently? What can I do better? I want to do more of what works, and I want to do less of what doesn't. And my conviction today on Freeform Friday is that I need to do less of a lot of the things that I've done, and I need to do more of some other things that I maybe haven't even tried, namely, to recognize that there are some constraints in my life. There are some things career-wise and work-wise that hold me back. Am I better off? Am I serving you? Am I serving myself to go down that path and down that journey and take you along for the ride? And together we try to learn these things. And your constraints may be different than mine, but don't these have broad applications? You and I both know that the successful people in the world, defined any way that you choose to define success or winning, they didn't all get there the same way. We are overrun with interview shows, many interviewing the very same people. We're listening to the same stories told over and over and over and over again. Well, not me. I've unsubscribed. No longer doing it. In fact, I can tell you that the interview show that I listen to and I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend is Mixer G. And I have been an Andrew Warner fan since the beginning. I have listened to Andrew time and time again. And I'm not in the high-tech space. Predominantly, at least in the early years, and increasingly he's branching out, but it's primarily been technology entrepreneurs. And the reason that I love him is, number one, the questions aren't canned. Number two, he does research and homework. And number three, he dives deep. He dives deep. Now, if you want the Reader's Digest condensed version of things, okay, there's scads of other interview shows out there, and I got no vested interest in pitching Mixergy, but I'm a deep dive guy. I want to know more. I got questions. And Andrew, for me, tends to be the guy who asks those questions and gets the answers to those questions. And if you listen, go over there and listen to three, listen to five, and you will hear stories that, yes, there are some common denominators, resilience, overcoming adversity, but the path of one guy versus the number five guy, they're all over the place. They're very different. But the truth of the matter is, we've all got to figure this out. There's no secret. There's no formula. There's no recipe for success, because we've all got to find our own way out. We've got to figure it out, because we are who we are, where we are, with whatever talents and skills we've got, and whatever adversity we've got, and whatever weaknesses we've got. And in many cases, we don't want to focus on those weaknesses so that we get downtrodden, but we've got to focus on those weaknesses enough to understand it's a problem and it's holding me back. I've got those. Let me throw an idea at you. Yeah, just give me your feedback. Again, bulanetwork.com/help-me. What do you think about this phrase? Let me throw some phrases at you. Effort over ability. Effort over ability. What do you think about that? What pops into your head when you hear that phrase? Effort over ability. What pops into your head when you think about the phrase grow great? Grow great. What do you think of when you think about zooming out? Zooming out. What do you think about when you hear the phrase, go find customers? I encounter so many people that get involved, especially in business, and they're chasing this, and they're chasing that, and they're chasing this other thing, and they're flying at about 30,000 feet, and they need to be down, well, their boots need to be on the ground, and they need to go find customers. But they've listened to so many stories, and they've read so many stories, and they've listened to so many interviews, and they're trying to fly at an altitude that a more mature outfit would be flying at, and they ain't there yet. I'm just saying. I don't have it all worked out. That's why it's Freeform Friday. I'd love your help, though. Absolutely, I would. I tell you what I'd love. I'd love it if you would enter your email address in that upper right-hand yellow box at the website, Bula, B-U-L-A network.com. I would love to send you the free video, 15 Obstacles to Success or Greater Success. I mean, that's fitting with today's subject. I've also got a free ebook that I wrote and a free audio that I'd love to send you, kind of bonus stuff. So if you just go over there and subscribe. I don't blitz your inbox with a lot of stuff. I used to send something out about once a week, and these days I send out something about twice a month. So I promise I won't spam you. I won't blitz your inbox, but I'd love it if you'd do that. And if you choose to help me, hey, I've already given you links, and I'll put links over in the show notes, as they say, for it as well. Bula, by the way, is a Fiji term. It means hello and goodbye, and it means life. In particular, it means life is good. It is analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. No, I'm not from Fiji. I'd love to go to Fiji one day. I have never visited Fiji. But about 35 years ago, somewhere, somehow, I can't remember where, but I found the term. I heard the term, and I thought, I like that term. And I was told that it was used as a greeting. So I began to use it as greetings for the internal memos that I would write to the staff and the companies where I ran. And of course, yes, I had to explain it, but a company memo would start with Bula, B-U-L-A, and an exclamation mark. I only had to explain it once, and then everybody got it. Thought it was a cool term, and so some years ago when I started the company, Bula had to be in there. Network, it's a network of things, and I am, for all intents and purposes, a small business consultant and an executive coach, and not necessarily in that order, I might add. Network was just the things that I did, I thought of them as a network of services. I found myself helping people with HR problems and succession planning and leadership and sales training and just in many cases all over the board. And so that was the thought process. It was a network in that sense. So if you're a first-time listener, now you know. By the way, other people have said this, and it's terribly true, and I hear radio people say this quite often, especially talk show kind of people. I may be an acquired taste. You know, give me two or three listens. And I used to think, you know, okay, I guess I can kind of get that. So maybe I'm an acquired taste. Maybe the Freeform Friday episode is not the very... Okay, maybe this wasn't the greatest episode for you to listen to if this was your first time here. But if it was, hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And if you're listening to me now, then man, you've listened all the way through. So even more thanks go to you. Bula, BULANetwork.com. That's the website. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. That's where I'm from. The city of never ending construction, road construction. It's lovely. Hey, the good news is city's growing, always growing. Cool place to live. I love it. I'm never leaving. And I'm coming to you from a place that I call the Yellow Studios.